Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God, the strength of all who put their trust in you, mercifully accept our prayers. And because in our weakness we can do nothing good without you, give us the help of your grace, that in keeping your commandments we may please you both in will and deed. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated.
A reading from the second book of Kings. Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Aram, was a great man in high favor with his master. Because of him, the Lord had given victory to Aram. The man, though a mighty warrior, suffered from leprosy. Now the Arameans, on one of their raids, had taken a young girl captive from the land of Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my lord." Naaman went in and told his lord just what the girl from the land of Israel had said. And the king of Aram said, "Go then, and I will send along the letter to the king of Israel." He went, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of garments. He brought the letter to the king of Israel, which read, "When this letter reaches you, know that I have sent to you my servant Naaman, that you may cure him of leprosy." When the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to give death and life, that this man sends word to me to cure a man of his leprosy? Just look, see how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me." But when Elisha, the man of God, heard the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent a message to the king, "Why have you torn your clothes? Let him come to me that he may learn that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and chariots and halted at the entrance of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, "Go, wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored and you shall be clean." But Naaman became angry and went away saying, "I thought that for me, he would surely come out and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and would wave his hand over the spot and cure the leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all of the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean? He turned and went away in a rage. But his servants approached him and said to him, Father, if the prophet had commanded you to do something difficult, would you not have done it? How much more when all he said to you was, wash and be clean? So he went down and immersed himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God. His flesh was restored like the flesh of a young boy, and he was clean. The word of the Lord.
A reading from the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians. Do you not know that in a race, the runners all compete, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win it. Athletes exercise self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable one. So I do not run aimlessly, nor do I box as though beating the air. But I punish my body and enslave it, so that after proclaiming to others, I myself should not be disqualified. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
A leper came to Jesus begging him, and kneeling he said to him, "If you choose, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I do choose. Be made clean." Immediately, the leprosy left him, and he was made clean. After sternly warning him, he sent him away at once, saying to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded, as a testimony to them." But he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the word, so that Jesus could no longer go into a town openly, but stay out in the country. And people came to him from every corner. Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. O Lord my God, I cried out to you, and you restored me to health. The leper begged, "If you choose, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, Jesus touched him and said, "I do choose. Be made clean." And then the healed man disobeyed Jesus and told everyone what had happened. All four Gospels depict Jesus as having spent a surprising amount of time healing people. There are 41 distinct instances of physical and mental healing recorded in the Gospels. But my question is this: how can we read these stories about Jesus, the exorcist and healer, without feeling cheated? Yes, that's what I said, cheated. God or Jesus has only to will it or choose to do so, and a person is healed. Most of us have prayed for some kind of healing in our lives, perhaps for our loved ones, perhaps for ourselves. In the face of terminal illness or some disaster, many of us have prayed for a miracle. And while miracles happen all the time, the outcomes of God's healing or restored health may differ greatly from what we prayed for, wanted, or expected. Trying to define healing, let alone what is health, would require a seminar rather than a sermon. But today's story of the leper may give us a clue about what it means to be healed or made whole again. Jesus chose to cleanse the leper. In every New Testament story where Jesus encountered lepers, the Greek word used was made clean, not healed. Made clean. Leprosy rendered the afflicted person ceremoniously unclean, not to mention contagious, requiring ostracism. Lepers were restricted from ritual and social life and had to live a solitary life outside the community. Leprosy was regarded as a punishment for sin, and to be cured of this dread disease was akin to being raised from the dead. The leper was healed by Jesus' compassionate touch, and the healed man could not be silent because of his joy of now being able to live again in his community. Even minor illnesses and diseases can isolate us, and it is only when we are welcomed home, when we are back in our community, that we begin to fully hear or to fully heal and become whole again. Welcome home. We do well to remember that heaven is also our home. The good news of Jesus Christ, which is about unity and wholeness, can only be lived out if Jesus is alive and active beyond the confines of the biblical stories, and only if Jesus acts in our present lives. If Jesus is absent and God is silent to us, The Gospels, indeed the entire Bible, can only be experienced as disappointing and unsettling. Using Jesus as our model, I believe it is prayer that gives life to our experience of God. Frederick Buechner says, in a way, every prayer is a prayer for healing, for our own healing, or for the healing of someone else. He says that the healing of the flesh and of the soul are inextricably related, that to touch one is always to affect the other. Buechner goes on to say that when we pray, it is to a God whom we believe has the power to heal, in fact, is the power to heal. Jesus, like the author of Job before him, specifically rejected the theory that sickness was God's way of getting even with sinners. In John 9, we read, as they walked along, they saw a man blind from birth. The disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents? Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents. Nonetheless, Jesus seems to have suggested a connection between sickness and sin, almost seeing sin as a kind of sickness. In Mark 2, Jesus said, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners. Again, this thinking is completely compatible with the Hebrew view of the human being as a psychosomatic unity, an amalgam of body and soul, whereby if either goes wrong, the other is affected. Ever since the time of Jesus, healing has been a part of the Christian tradition. Healing prayers are offered here every Sunday during communion at our side altars. And drawing again on Buechner, he has some practical suggestions. If it is someone else's healing that we are praying for, we can try at the same time laying on hands, as Jesus sometimes did. If their sickness involves their body as well as their soul, then God may be able to use our inept hands as well as our inept faith to heal them. If we feel like a fool when we do this kind of healing prayer, we should not let it throw us. We should avoid trying to feel too religious or trying to generate some healing power on our own. One way we might think about this is that we are like a small gauge clogged up pipe through which a little of God's power may be able to filter through, if we can just stay loose, relaxed, and open. We also need to tell those we are praying for to stay loose. If God does not seem to be giving us what we ask to save our dying child, our parent, or perhaps even ourselves, maybe he is giving us something else. When we read Job, we begin to understand. God does not explain anything to Job. God actually explodes and is angry and asks Job, who does he think he is anyway? Asking why terrible things happen. Maybe the reason that God does not explain to Job why terrible things happen is that he knows Job does not need an explanation. Suppose that God did explain. Suppose that God were to say to Job that the reason that the cattle were stolen, the crops ruined, and the children killed was thus and so, spelling out right down to and including the case of boils. Job would have his explanation. And then what? Job would still have lost his children, and the boils, the burn and scratch, would still be his. We might ask in troubled times, if God is all that he has cracked up to be, how come houses blow down on innocent people? Why does a good woman die in the prime of her life, while an old man who cannot remember his name goes on in a nursing home forever? Why are there so many crooks riding around in Cadillacs? And why are there so many children going to bed at night hungry? As a people of faith, we have to accept the fact that God does not reveal his grand design. He reveals himself. God does not show us why things are the way they are. He shows us his face. And often his face is seen in our clinics, shelters, soup kitchens, and in the person sitting next to you right here, right now. And Job said, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see thee. In our compassion, we do not like to see people suffer. And so our instincts are aimed at preventing and alleviating suffering. And no doubt, this is a good instinct. But if we really want to reach out to others who are suffering, we should be careful not to do our helping with the presumption that we can fix things, get rid of them, or make things better. So instead of focusing on preventing suffering, perhaps we should begin by entering into the suffering, participating insofar as we are able, entering the mystery, and looking around for God. In other words, we need to stop feeling sorry for people who suffer and instead look at them, look up to them, learn from them, and if they will let us, join them in resolve and prayer. Never stop praying with the psalmist. O Lord my God, I cried out to you, and you restored me to health. Remember that Job's suffering did not end because he was protesting, complaining, and asking why. It ended because of prayer, healing prayer. Amen. Let us stand and reaffirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We acknowledge one holy Catholic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
We offer ourselves with all our hopes and fears and dreams and sorrows to Jesus, who has come and is here and will come again. In this season of Epiphany, we remember the wise ones whose journey by the brightest star's light brought them to the light of the world. Let us pray together, saying, Christ be our light. For the people of God throughout the world, and for all of us gathered together here, that we will learn how God wants us to live, let us pray together, saying,
Christ be our light.
For our president, for the leaders of every nation, and for all who work for justice, freedom, and peace, let us pray together, saying,
Christ be our light.
For children and grown-ups everywhere, for our families, friends, and neighbors, for all who we love, those who live and those who have died, we give thanks for the lives of Bill Mason and Judy Stirrup. Let us pray together, saying,
Christ be our light.
For all who are sick, sad, hungry, afraid, alone, or in any kind of trouble, that they will be helped and comforted. Let us pray together, saying,
Christ be our light.
For what is in our hearts today, we ask you to hear us, God. For all that we have and all that we share, we thank you, God.
Almighty and eternal God, ruler of all things in heaven and earth, mercifully accept the prayers of your people and strengthen us to do your will through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We pray to you also for the forgiveness of our sins. Have mercy upon us, most merciful Father. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things done and left undone. And so uphold us by your Spirit, that we may live and serve you in the kingdom of God. We honor and glory your name.
Amen.
Almighty God, have mercy on you. Forgive you all of your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be always with you. Welcome, welcome. Sorry about this microphone. I've been fooling with this thing all week, and I can't get it right. I'm about to throw it out. We welcome all of our visitors, and there is a card in the pews there, if you would mind, not mind. Please fill that out, and we will be in touch with you. Kate is in Washington, D.C., with Jacob's fifth grade class. doing that wild and crazy tour that the fifth graders do. I'm sure some of you have done that. So we wish her well. I'm sure it'll be fun. She'll be back on Thursday. Just for those of you who are curious about Bill Mason's funeral, it will be Thursday here at 11 a.m. Lent is around the corner, and if you are looking for some Lenten reading material, please stop in the bookstore, which is outside in Tolliver Hall today, as has been our custom now for a few weeks. Kate would not do this, but I will, and that is plug her book. She has two Lenten daily devotionals on sale, and they both are excellent. So please consider them for your Lenten meditation. It is St. Mary's Bag of the Month Club today, so please pick up the bags at the door as you leave today. Next Sunday, there will not be a 10:30 service here in the cathedral. Rather, we will have a combined worship service at 11 o'clock at the First United Methodist Church directly across the street. And then together, we're going to come back over here to Tolliver Hall for a potluck lunch. So please read the bulletin for suggestions about what you might bring. Please come. Kate will be preaching, and we look forward to this new event. I had something else, but I can't. Oh, I know what it was. The cold night ministry was opened last night, and I assume will be open again tonight. And we wish to thank all of you who have participated in that and stayed up all with the folks that were here. There were a number of people here last night. Ascribe unto the Lord gifts and honor due His name.
Thank you.
Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. God of all power, ruler of the universe, you are worthy of glory and praise. At your command, all things came to be. The vast expanse of interstellar space, galaxies, suns, the planets in their courses, and this fragile earth, our island home. From the primal elements, you brought forth the human race and blessed us with memory, reason, and skill. You made us the rulers of creation, but we turned against you and betrayed your trust, and we turned against one another. Again and again, you called us to return. Through prophets and sages, you revealed your righteous law. And in the fullness of time, you sent your only Son, born of a woman, to fulfill your law, to open for us the way of freedom and peace. And therefore we praise you, joining with the heavenly chorus, with prophets, apostles, and martyrs, and with all those in every generation who have looked to you in hope, to proclaim with them your glory in their unending hymn. And so, Father, we who have been redeemed by him and made a new people by water and the Spirit, now bring before you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be for the body and blood of Jesus Christ our Lord. On the night he was betrayed, he took bread, said the blessing, broke the bread, and gave it to his friends and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took a cup of wine, gave thanks, and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering now his work of redemption and offering to you this sacrifice of thanksgiving, we celebrate his death and resurrection as we await the day of his coming. Lord God of our fathers and mothers, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God of Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, and Leah, God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, open our eyes to see your hand at work in the world about us. Deliver us from the presumption of coming to this table for solace only and not for strength, for pardon only and not for renewal. Let the grace of this holy communion make us one body, one spirit in Christ, that we may worthily serve the world in his name. Risen Lord, be known to us, break your bread. Accept these prayers and praises, Father, through Jesus Christ, our great high priest, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit, your church gives honor, glory, and worship from generation to generation.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Gifts of God for the people of God, take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. join me in sending forth our Eucharistic visitor. In the name of St. John's Cathedral, I send you forth bearing these holy gifts, that those to whom you may go may share with us in the communion of Christ's body and blood. We who are many are one body, because we all share one bread. Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the most precious body and blood of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and for assuring us in these holy mysteries that we are living members of the body of your Son and heirs of your eternal kingdom. And now, Father, send us out to do the work you have given us to do, to love and serve you as faithful witnesses of Christ our Lord. Begin to you and the Holy Spirit, the honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ be with you to defend you, within you to keep you, before you to lead you, beside you to guard you, and above you to bless you. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Let us go forth in the name of Christ.